org.
This is Eco Radio KC, a locally produced exploration of positive solutions to the ecological challenges we face as we work to create a healthier future for our community and the planet.
And now some news headlines. KOMU-TV in Columbia, Missouri is reporting that the two missing hikers whose bodies were found last week in Juneau, Alaska, were from Columbia, Missouri. And the National Park Service identified them as Rochelle Rankin and Michael Huffman, both 62. Both were retired Missouri Department of Conservation employees. Mike's last position was division chief of the MDC Outreach and Education Division, and Rochelle's last position was the Resource Science Division field chief. Our hearts go out to the Missouri Department of Conservation. For the second day in a row, an orange ozone alert was issued for the Kansas City metropolitan area. That makes seven for this year. There were seven in total last year in 2017. Orange ozone alerts are especially bad for those with asthma and other breathing issues. And pollution stays trapped in our air on ozone alert days. So people are encouraged not to mow their lawn until after 7 p.m. and not to gas up until after 7 p.m. and to avoid driving wherever possible. Kansas City Area Transit Authority cuts bus rates to half price on orange ozone alert days. And EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt resigned under a series of scandals, and former coal lobbyist Andrew Wheeler has been named acting EPA Administrator. And that's a bit of the news. Other than I do have a statement. This is a follow-up to the program we did a couple weeks ago with Bill Nichols from Save the Last KC Forest. The group Preserve the Line Creek Forest Team has sent us a statement, and so I'll read it. The Preserve the Line Creek Forest Team wants you to know that tomorrow, July 10th, there will be a rare opportunity to voice your concerns about Park Hills School District's deforestation of the Lion Creek Forest in the Northland. The Park Hill District will be holding a one-time-only public feedback meeting at the Plaza Middle School, 6501 Northwest 72nd Street, Kansas City, Missouri, between 5 and 6:30 p.m. on its LEED, that's L-E-A-D, Innovation Studio Design. The LEED Innovation Studio will mean deforestation of approximately 101 more acres in the Lion Creek Forest, an invasion of the forest with visual, light, noise, traffic, stormwater, and odor pollution. The LEED facility would also require an expensive road not to be plowed through the Lion Creek Forest to serve only the LEED facility. The road would pave the way for the Lion Creek Parkway, a four-lane boulevard with 200-foot-wide right-of-ways that would cut north and south through the heart of the Lion Creek Forest, paralleling and even crossing the Lion Creek Trail. The July 10th public input meeting at the Plaza Middle School, 6501 Northwest 72nd Street, will be your only opportunity to have open dialogue with the school board, administrators, architects, and landscape designers to express concerns about the district continuing its massive deforestation in the Lion Creek Forest. Repeatedly, Park Hill School District has discounted the Preserve the Lion Creek Forest petition and its 11,478 petition signers by saying that 10,000 people didn't really count, not knowing where they are from or in district. If you are in Kansas City area, the event again is tomorrow from at night, and that starts at, it goes from 5 to 6:30. For more information and for updates, you can visit the Save the Last KC Forest Facebook page or lastkcforest.com. And again, that's 5 to 6:30 p.m. Tomorrow night. Additional details. So they say, we are opposed to the proposed location of Park Hill's LEED Innovation Studio because it'll be much larger and more devastating to the Lime Creek Forest. I'm sorry, I lost my place here. Bringing visual light, noise, and traffic and odor pollution to the forest. It will invade the serenity and viewshed of the Lime Creek Forest and the Lime Creek Trail because the buildings would be visible from the Lime Creek Trail. Unless the district commits to be conserving the tree line that exists between the proposed facility and the Lime Creek Trail, but the current school board has already said that it doesn't want to tie the hands of future boards with conservationist easements. The LEED studio requires an expensive road to be plowed through the Lime Creek Forest to serve the LEED studio. If the bond measure funding the third high school is not approved, the LEED studio would be the only facility served by this road. Park Hills Road would lay the groundwork for the Lime Creek Parkway, a four-lane boulevard with 200-foot-wide right-of-ways that would cut through the heart of the Lime Creek Forest, paralleling and even crossing the Lime Creek Trail, and become the gateway development for a proposed but taxpayer-unfunded third high school that is planned to have baseball, football, and soccer fields, a gym, performing arts building, and lots of parking. So again, that's from the folks at the Preserve the Lime Creek Forest team, also Save the Last KC Forest they go by. And that's the update on that. And then just you heard us say about the ozone alert. We're going to hopefully get something on our air quality about that next week. But at this point, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Richard Mabey.
Thank you, Mike. And hello, everyone out there. I want to give Mike some credit. That was pretty tough with him for him to have to read through that. We was hoping that someone from out there would have been able to either call in or been here so we could have them say something about that project out there. What was the guy's name that was on with us? Bill Nichols was on with us, if any of you can remember that show. This is talking about that section of Kansas City, Missouri that's out north, that if you go out, I think it was 64th Street, if I remember correctly, if you on I-29 coming from the airport or headed in that direction, and you people who live out there, you know what I'm talking about. You know the street I'm talking about. And you get on 64th, that's the street that'll take you to North Oak. It's a long trip, but it's still, it eventually winds around and gets you over to North Oak. The reason this is important, and I think it ties into something that's going on in Leawood. Leawood is having a similar meeting that's dealing with some new construction. It's dealing with the fact that, you know, Leawood has quaint houses. They don't have what you would call the big monster-type houses. Well, you got some folks out there right now that want to change that dynamic and are talking, from based on what I've heard. I just heard it on the news, but they want to start building some of those big monster type houses. And so they're doing the same thing out there that Mike was saying that they're doing over in North Kansas City. But I think it's an era that we're going into that people who are conscious about the environment, who are conscious about where we live, who are conscious about how things are being done, need to start paying more attention to what's going on in your local areas, your local little municipalities. And it's a circumstance that is going to require some intellect. This is not emotion. Don't approach these things emotionally, because then you will miss the point. And I think that we as the American public have to understand that we reached a milestone in this country where growth and development and economic opportunities is a must. So when you start thinking in terms of the serenity that you've had, like in this case with the forest, I mean, very rarely do you hear people even talk about forest anymore. So I was very impressed with the fact that he sat here and talked about the forest. You know me, I grew up in Argentina, in Kansas City, Kansas. I talk about woods. I used to hang out in the woods. So to hear someone sitting up talking about their love for a forest is a unique and a very enjoyable thing. So if you can go. This is even some time if you just want to be an observer to hear the kinds of conversation that's going to be coming out and being talked about. I think it's just another phase of life that all of us need to start thinking in terms of what's going to happen when they come to my neighborhood. I know I'm being that way over in Kansas City, Kansas. Fortunately, unfortunately, depending on who you are, how you look at it, our situation has reached full blown. So ours is not about developing. Ours is about reviving. There's a difference. And so when you talk in terms of reviving, you know, that means you got to do something with the stuff that's in the way. So that means that you have to be in a position and know how to take it down. In the cases where they've turned asbestos-laden houses over into the ground, you got to know how to dig it up. And all of that is extremely costly. So we have our issues, too, that we have to deal with. Which brings me to my show tonight. I could sit here and talk forever with the guests that I have. They're kind of my find, I put it like that. They've been on before. They proclaim themselves to be Project Riley. I don't know how many of you were fortunate enough to get a chance to see Channel 5 last Saturday it would have been, but they this Project Riley group put on a garden party. And it was quite a feat over in Quindaro District in Kansas City, Kansas. And Channel 5 came out and filmed it and showed a bit on the evening news or whenever it showed. I got it now so I can send it around in emails and let people see it. But I'm going to have the Project Riley guys introduce themselves again to you, and then we'll go from there.
How's everyone doing? My name is Terrell Dyer. I am vice chair in Project Riley and co-founder.
Yes. Good evening. It's Aaron Marks, the chair of Project Riley and also a co-founder.
And good evening. My name is Tracy Dyer, and I happen to be the proud papa and uncle of these two young gentlemen and the voice of wisdom that they come and bounce ideas off of as they move forward with Project Riley.
I'm very happy to have the father here this evening. In fact, I made it mandatory that he and his wife be here because I think it shows how life used to be for us. We had parents that stood by their youngsters. And these two young men sitting here with me, I won't tell their age, but they're older than teenagers. And for them to be in the situation they're in, to be doing the things they're doing and have their parents standing here by them is a sign of maturity that I wish we had all over this city. All right, I want to tell them, somebody give me the history of Project Riley.
Project Riley, the history, we kind of came into our place, just a few things that happened in our community that we saw that we felt we could change. We felt that it wasn't right in our vision of our community, and we felt like we could do something about it. We didn't really sit around and wait for it to happen. We kind of took the lead on it and felt like going environmental and getting an understanding of what our community needed first before we really jumped out into the box. I mean, jumped out into starting our organization. So first, it started off as far as viewing and seeing what our community needs, going to meetings, meeting Mr. Mabian at one of these standoffs that we attended, and first threw our voice out there as being Project Riley to the community. We kind of we call it our coming out party to the community, being a voice of a different standard. Kind of, Aaron, if you want to elaborate.
Yeah. Like he said, to take it further, we did assess what our community needed. And to be quite frank, we took it the gardening way because we're from Quindaro, the northeast end, and we're in a food desert, to be quite frank. And we understood, first off, that we could do better if we knew what we were putting in our bodies, if we could afford to put the good things in our body. And we figured out if we planted a seed and did it ourselves, you know, we didn't have to ask anyone else.
And also, we had our price chopper. I'm going to call it our price chopper because they left, so it couldn't have been ours. But Price Chopper was able to leave our community and leave the end of our community without a grocery store and people finding hard ways to find fresh produce. And that led us to our gardening and starting community gardens and really being community-oriented, using our gardens to produce a more community feel within itself, because that's one of the challenges that we have right now is trying to find ways to get the community involved in a common goal, and we felt that goal was food because we all need to eat.
Okay, you started out talking about you had a concern about the things that was going on in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. What kind of things?
Well, we went to a meeting once upon a time, and they were talking about the funding that we received from the casino grant and how they were going to use it. And sitting in this meeting, man, him was kind of blinded to the fact, but once we started asking questions, we started understanding. And first, they told us that they had a $10 million grant and people were supposed to come and vote in on it. Well, the only people that were attending these times of voting were not the people of the community. And so these people, these voting times was held in the morning during a weekday when these people were at work. The community was at work, and they ended up voting on tax breaks. And I know a majority of that money went to tax breaks, which we understand that our community need a lot of things. And that $10 million could have went towards a lot of things that could have jump-started other organizations or could have jump-started other things besides sidewalks and business owners getting tax breaks.
Okay. So, and I'm glad you said that because you could have very easily, when I asked you that question, I wasn't for sure which direction you were going to go. Because you could have said, oh, well, you know, we got the killing going on and we got this going on and that going on, which is mostly what you hear people talk about when they talk about what they're concerned about going on. But you went a different direction. You were in the direction that was saying that you had a concern about the management of our community.
Well, the awareness of our community. Yeah. We are unaware that what's going on in our community, and that's unfair. When you have the outlets to make your community aware of what's going on and you don't utilize them and you come to an excuse of saying we send emails. Well, our community, we live in a low-income community. A lot of people don't have internet or Wi-Fi or a computer or know how to access a computer.
Okay, before you speak, I want to give out the phone number because we want to make this, first of all, we're going to take a break. But I'm going to give the number out to you now, and I'll give it to you again when we come back in. That way, if you want to join this conversation or if you want to add something to it, dial in 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. We'll be right back.
KKFI is volunteer-powered but relies on financial support from the community. You can share information about your organization or event with our supporters when you become a community marketing partner. Learn more at kkfi.org/marketing.
All right, this is Richard Mabian, and if you want to join this conversation, come on and give us a call. Don't wait until the last minute to do so. 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534.
The Mid-America Regional Council Air Quality Program has issued an orange ozone alert today, which indicates high levels of ozone pollution in our air. Individuals with asthma or other breathing problems, heart conditions, and all young children and seniors should limit their outdoor activity. Please avoid unnecessary driving today and postpone mowing your lawn and refueling your vehicle to help reduce pollution. For more information, visit marc.org/airq.
Deteriorating infrastructure. It's a damn shame. On this current cast.
There are an estimated 75,000 dams in the United States. Most were installed to provide services like hydropower or irrigation. But many date back to the early 1900s, and a lot are now in dire need of repair.
Concrete portions deteriorate, steel rusts out, embankments become weakened over time.
Bill Sturdivant, a Wisconsin State Dam safety engineer, says these old dams also impact the environment.
Any dammed river, stream, creek will have the effect of warming up the water as it sits in the impoundment and increasing phosphorus loads and other nutrients.
But dam removals must be done carefully to avoid unintended consequences downstream. CurrentCast is produced in partnership with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
This is Richard Mabey, and I'm back here again, and we have Project Rally here in the room with us. That phone number is 816-931-5534, 816-931-5534. Aaron, you were getting ready to add on to what Terrell was saying.
Yeah, what I was trying to explain was the acronym for Project Rally, which is Respect, Accountability, Love, Leadership, and Youth. So when in looking for solutions in our community of what we could do, we understood you have to respect everybody first off. You have to give respect in order to receive respect. So once we realized that, the next step was accountability. So it alludes to what you said about we could have been pointing at the crime and the litter in the streets and all that, which were things that we pointed out. Right. But we also understood that when you hold people accountable, you hold everyone accountable. It has to be everyone that's a part of the community, from your elected politicians to your officers to your store owners to the children that's running and playing on the street. So when we came to that, as we figure out, well, then where can we fit in this?
Well, all of you out there know that I'm a solution-oriented person. We can sit around, we've been sitting around talking about the negative aspect of being black in America since the end of slavery. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that we have to reach a point of figuring how we can turn that around and figure out ways for us to start becoming contributors, not only to America, but to our communities and to ourselves. And that's why I got attracted to these two young men, because I saw them as having the potential of being the kind of leaders that we need in our communities, the ones that have the love for the community. They're not doing what they're doing because they're trying to put a couple of dollars in their pocket, even though everybody wants to make money. They are actively engaged in doing what they're doing because they care about the community where they live. If y'all know me, you know that's why I do what I do. Now, they're not the only ones here in the room. We had this, you heard his father mention his name, and we have three other people here in the room who you'll get a chance to hear also as we continue along with this conversation. The reason now what I'm gonna do is switch the script and go from the Project Rally part, which is the thing that these young men have really done. And tell us about the garden party. Then I'm gonna flip the switch and we're gonna go to the training.
Well, the garden party was a way to, what we like to do, like we touched on awareness and accountability, but our garden party is one way that we can bring more awareness to the people in the community about what's going on, about commissioners or elected officials, about food production, about growing food, about being able to package food and turning a food into a resource for the community to come together around as well. Our garden party, it kind of brings a lot of things of what we're trying to do all in one, as far as giving people sustainability is one thing that we like to look at. We also show people how to harvest food, because a lot of people don't know the education about planting and harvesting food. So we like to bring a lot of awareness as far as community events, but also learning how to grow and harvest your own food and feed yourself.
Okay, we got a caller on the line. Caller, you on the air. Will you give us your first name and the part of the city you're calling from, please?
Yes, my name is Vernon Hill, Kansas City, Missouri.
Radio off, sir?
Yes.
You're going to have to turn it off.
I'm interested in your program. I'm enjoying, we're trying to build a prospect back up.
Vernon.
Yes.
Can you turn your radio off, sir? It's giving us too much feedback.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. No, is that better?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
That's okay.
Yes, and what other kind of business you're putting in, like Friends of Prospect is really building back up?
Mm-hmm. Y'all know about Friends of Prospect? Mm-hmm. Say that again. So I missed you. What was your question, Vernon? Say it again, will you? Your feedback kept me from hearing it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, I was interested in getting a business in a black neighborhood, and especially on Prospect.
Okay, so you're in Missouri, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got a. Have you ever heard of a guy named MC Richardson?
Oh yes. Oh yes.
You know MC?
I heard of him.
Well, that's who I need you to get in touch with.
Okay.
Now, he has a program here on this air. Comes on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Called the same number you just called.
Okay.
He'll be in, and this show comes on. It's guess who's at 5. At 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock.
Call him back and say the same thing you just said to me to him and see what kind of help he can give you over here in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a Kansas boy. Not that that means that I don't deal with Missouri. I'm just saying that he would be your best shot, okay?
The best shot. Okay, now I got a grandson. He's him and my wife, they are into this raising vegetables up in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's coming on pretty good.
Okay.
They open up I can't talk right now.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you having me.
Oh, no. Thanks for calling, man. And you keep listening to the station. I'm glad to know you're out there. Appreciate it. Let me get that number. I'm going to get that number out again to anyone else out there. 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. Were you getting ready to say something?
No. I would just ask that you continue to encourage your grandson to be a future farmer of tomorrow.
Yes. Well, that's something that we need to talk about because, you know, I tell you all the time, what you're doing is not about you. Mm-hmm. It's not about you at all. Let me hear a little bit about that as far as how your attitude is about what you're doing.
Well, one thing, our garden, I take that into consideration because the things from our garden are free. No one is actually being charged as far as a payment in our garden. We just look for people to be a patron in a way of, you know, you pick something, you pull something. You pull some weeds if you decide to pick something. That's one thing that our way of giving back to the community. And right now, we are in a community that doesn't offer a lot. So we can't take much from our community. Ain't nothing we can take from it. So we're trying to build it in an aspect of becoming a resource for us so we can come back to the table, like you were saying earlier, and offer something when we sitting at these tables. So right now, we can't go into community work looking to take from our community that don't have nothing to take from. So we'll be working backwards.
Yeah, we came in with the mindset that we're here to build. We understand
exactly.
That a lot of things that we want to take place may not take place on our watch, but we are to set it up. So we're the teachers for the next generation. You got to have a teacher, you know, and accept that that's your role and know that that's your role. And then you get to weeks back, maybe we 70 or 80, we can watch it be executed if we blessed to live that long.
You didn't mention 70 because of me, did you?
Only because of you, Mr. Man. We got to put you in there.
Oh, well, I really like that attitude. Before we get to our next break, I want to switch over to this training that everybody in here is going to, because when we come back on, I'm going to have the rest of the room up here. Tell me, say a little bit about this training.
Well, the training, man, the relationships, first off, that got us into this training, being able to go and attend this leadership training is phenomenal. We enjoy the relationships we build through you as well, but being able to go and attend grows us as an organization. So first, I want to just thank the ones who put us at the table to be able to go. And but secondly, we feel that the leadership training and environmental part is really our space. And if we want to see ourselves prosper along with our organization, this would be a great opportunity for us all to attend. So we see it in that light, as well as, again, building relationships and being able to use those resources to take back and give back to our community so we can upgrade our community up to a standard of our own that we see.
Yeah, I'm very much excited about them taking this training, and I'll talk more about it when we come back off this break. That number now is 816-931-5534, 816-931-5534.
We're killing our plants and animals. Animals consider eating anything. All that trash can't be digested, causing death. This also goes for our plants. Piles of trash are ruining and killing them. In some animals that it composed, you would see all the trash that it consumed. The most we can do is educate people by having public speakers go to schools to educate on the topic and having litter laws where it's needed. With no litter, we would have a beautiful environment and live in healthy conditions. This is brought to you by Jesse Harmon High School and 90.1 FM KKFI.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. For more than 80 years, Eckhart Orchards in Fredericksburg, Texas, has been known for its juicy, delicious peaches.
My father's mother and father planted peach trees in the 30s.
That's co-owner Diane Eckhart.
I'm very proud to be able to continue on the family business.
But she says, with climate change, growing peaches in Texas is not the same as it was for her parents and grandparents. Warming winters, extreme storms, and drought pose more frequent threats to the health of the trees and the harvest.
Last year, we didn't have enough cold in the winter while the trees were dormant. The fruit buds and the leaf buds did not get enough cold. They didn't leaf out properly. We didn't have any fruit. That was eye-opening to see the trees in so much stress.
To help her family's orchard survive, Eckhart is working to adapt to warmer, drier conditions. She's trying new methods to conserve moisture and experimenting with different peach varieties.
My father always says, when you're growing peaches, you really need to be looking 20, 25, 30 years into the future. If we ignore the climate science, we will not have a farm.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
All right, I am back again, and we have a whole new table sitting, all except Terrell's father. So what I'm going to do is go around and have my other new members sitting at the table, introduce themselves, tell you how they're affiliated with this group.
Hi, I'm Juanel Locke, and I'm on the board member of Project Rally.
Hi, everybody. I'm Shauna Dyer, and I'm also on the board. I am in charge of our fundraising committee and try to keep these guys a little bit organized.
Hi, my name is Modesty Jones, and I am on the board of Project Rally, working on branding and making sure we look good when we show up to all of these events.
See, I surprised you. I didn't let y'all know we had a couple of females in here with us, you know, to kind of straighten this groom out, add a little decency to this room besides me. And I was very impressed with Miss Dyer because she had talked about, oh, I can't get on the air. And when she got the mic close to her, she went into kind of a entertainer's kind of a posture and kind of turned her head to the side. And I said, whoa, look what we got sitting up here. All right, I mean, this is a good group. And I really, like I said, I'm just tremendously feel honored to know these four people sitting here right now because they have become the backbone for my fellas. And, you know, I know how it is to be alone because most of what I do alone. And so when you have some people that can be with you, I've showed up over there at the garden and daddy and granddaddy and uncles and cousins and fella from down the street who we still trying to figure out who he is will be up there in the midst of the garden helping them out, and you can't beat that. But I want to talk to you. First of all, Gibby, I want you to give me your own personal feelings about Project Rally. Let's start with that. We'll start over here with you, Dad.
Well, first of all, I really like the fact that Project Rally just wants to invest into the community. You know, that's why I'm really proud of these two young men. And a lot of times we sit around and we talk about what our community needs and how to what we can do to better the community. And one thing that we've discussed is, and Mr. Mabian, you mentioned it then, I like the way that the direction they discussed is, because if we make the improvements within the community to foster rebuilding and revitalizing our community, you know, a lot of those other problems within our community will go away.
That's right.
You know, the killing, the crime. We need to build pride.
Right.
back into our community. And it's a lot of black people in our community, white, Hispanic. We have a very diverse community that have a lot of great tradition and pride. And so we want to accentuate that. You know, we're tired of dealing with the negative. We want to accentuate the positive. And so that's pretty much what Project Rally is all about. And that's why I'm really proud to be affiliated with this group.
Okay. Modesty? Oh, you didn't think you wasn't going to get pull that mic around there in front of you there.
Well, I guess I can represent one of those that's not political at all. I'm really that person that is blinded by the reality of all of this because I don't pay attention to it, I guess. And when Aaron and Terrell told me about their vision for Project Rally, I really thought it was great. I thought they were doing a great thing. They had great ideas. And before I knew it, the opportunities were coming for them to do those better things for their community and be able to bring the community together. And I just figured as a owner of my own company, and I can provide with making us look good for our community, make sure that the community knows anybody can do it. We can all be a part of all of this.
Now, you mentioned branding when you introduced yourself. Explain how you do that.
Yes. I own Elite Enterprise on State Avenue in KCK. And I do a lot of the printing when it comes to flyers, our business cards. When we have the garden party, for example, we have custom T-shirts. Make sure we represent Project Rally, express our, what would you say, our... Yeah, our individuality, but yet our how we all can come together and work together. Yeah.
That's very good. I think that's been very beneficial in your group. You've given them an image.
Yes.
And a lot of times people go to work, go start a business, and basically all they do is get a piece of cardboard and write open on it and slap it up on the wall, and they think everybody's supposed to come charging into your door. You have been in a position to create some items, and like you said, doing your work, and it's really been beneficial, and it really looks good. All right, young lady, this is you. Introduce yourself again.
I don't know if I want to do that. I got talked about last time. Project Rally to me is I have seen two young men very determined go out and find solutions. Project Rally is all about finding solutions for our people in our community. It's some of what Modesty said. We give up a little bit of individuality. We come up with our own hashtag solutions to be, you know, marketed so people can see what we're about. But the majority of it is these kids are just finding ways to make Wyandotte County, like Tracy said earlier, bring back some pride. Make Wyandotte County, Wyandotte County again.
Yes, I agree. Okay, brother. All right.
My name is Juan L. And Project Rally to me, it was divine intervention. I was in a point in my life where I wanted to make my life mean something. And everything they were saying, was doing, it was just, it was all, you know, I had just came out of college. I was looking for something to invest my life in, and it just, it was right there on the table, you know what I mean? And I still don't even, like Modesty said, I still don't realize what's going on. I'm just like, you know, just doing what it, and it turns out to be good, but with my heart, I'm just doing because I feel like it needs to be done. I'm not even, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the impression that I've received from everyone who's sitting here. And everyone's talking, and also that's what made me be a part of this, but it's also what I do in life, and that's what's made it real easy for us to be able to bond as we have. Yes, sir.
Mr. Maven, I just wanted to add that our committee really does reflect a very unique group. We've got three or four college graduates here, and I'm just going to say I just recently graduated from Ottawa University, and I'm a part of Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools, and been a part of the school district for almost 20 years now. And we're proud of that. Yeah. You know, we're proud to build upon the things we've accomplished. Terrell's a graduate of Park University. Modesty's a business owner. Shauna is pretty much runs the business side of the family
I can tell.
For all of us. this young man, who by the way is also our cousin, is pretty much the glue for all of us. I mean, you could just hear it in his voice how much he cares about what's going on with Project Rally and how much it means to them. And I just wanted to add to that, because he's not alone. A lot of people who come and work the garden with us talk about how peaceful and serene it makes them feel to be able to come and just give back. You know, we got a lot of people. I know a young lady by the name of Marcia Griffo, who just recently retired, and she loves to come and spend a lot of time with us there. You know, it's just, and there's a lot of those people like that in the community, and that's who we're really reaching out to today. Right. You know, that's who we want to reach.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody out there to think it's easy, and we don't have our work cut out. I say we because I'm going to take credit when they do something good. But just like when we had the garden party and they came, both Terrell and Aaron came over and talked to me, because the people who were not there were the neighbors, okay? Were the neighbors.
Yeah.
And I've been on the ever since they brought that up, because, see, that comes into my area of how do we market the neighbors? We need to, next time they have something over there, we go market the neighbors. Now, I got one for them, and then this is, everybody's hearing this for the first time. When I was on my way up the street Saturday, when I went over there and saw the garden, I noticed a group. I noticed the motorcycle group down the street. They were getting ready to do an early morning rally somewhere. I mean, the streets were packed. I mean, they had bikes all up and down the streets, and they had the cars and everything. And I said, there they are. We will do nothing up there at that garden that we don't invite them to attend. Yep. They barbecue down there every weekend. They should be buying or getting their stuff from the garden.
Yes.
I mean, we talking just a few blocks away. I was thinking, God, where they going to park all them daggum bikes, man? Because the streets were packed at the party. I mean, I had to park almost a block away myself. So I'm sitting up going, wow, I could see them roaring down the streets on them bikes, though. So I'm saying, even now in my marketing mentality, I'm thinking in terms of coming to the group with ways they can do that. So I don't want them to feel everything is on their shoulders. We work together in what we're doing. They got a beautiful sign. If you go down Quinderall, it's right there on Quinderall and what is that?
Hiawatha.
Right there at Gary Wilson's Pizza. On the corner above it, they have a beautiful sign up there that's talking about the garden party, but it talks about rally. And again, we're talking about something positive that's going on in the neighborhood without a whole lot of hoopla. We don't have a marching band with drums and little girls shaking their tail feathers. We don't have athletes running up and down the street playing basketball with each other, or throwing the football up and down the street. We just have regular people that are engaging with each other. And I think that's what this is all about. My adrenaline, and those of you out there who know me know that once my adrenaline starts flowing, I'm miles ahead of these people right now. I'm probably 10 years ahead of them as far as the different things they're going to be able to do. But before this group I got here now goes, I want to hear something about the training. Tell me what you think about the training. Now, they've been exposed to the group. You all haven't. So tell me.
Well, I've been a part of Wyandotte County my whole life. I've been a coach, mentor, paraeducator, and now I'm a teacher. My whole goal is about leadership. And I think I'm going to take this leadership conference so seriously, so I'll know how to come back and be a better leader in my community, be a better even father, husband, and mainly a teacher. I take that very seriously, my role as an educator. So we're hoping as a group to really come back and impact as a result of the conference coming up.
Modesty?
Well, like I said, this is all a new area for me. But the leadership thing is something that I'm going to take very seriously, and I'm interested to learn more ways to feel more confident in leading projects in my community.
Okay.
I'm really excited about this leadership conference, mainly because when I think about signing up for it, we were asked a challenge question. Mm-hmm. And my challenge question was, what can I learn to do to make other people as excited to want to do what I want to do? You know, so I'm really excited about this, hoping that we can learn new ways to pull our community in. They're coming slowly, but it's a slow come. Right. And I'm hoping that this will give all of us a sense of better direction to, you know, bridge the gap that we're missing.
All right, sir.
I'm pretty excited about this leadership conference also. Being a black man, as a man, I always want to lead the best way possible. I want to be able to leave an impression on not only my kids, but my kids' kids, so they can all... you know, we can find a new way. Basically, I'm saying I think that the way things have been going, they can be changed, and they need to be changed, or we're going to perish as fools.
You know, y'all, you're sitting here listening to real people that I just kind of stumbled up on one day at a standoff of all places, and heard these young men talking about how people should be looking more at themselves than what they're trying to create evil in the world. And I couldn't help but be overcome by seeing young people their age and doing and saying the things they were saying. So here we are now. This is our next time around. You two slide up here. Just slide on in here. I want you to have a couple of comments before we go. We got like 3 minutes left.
Can I say one thing real quick? We'd be remiss if we didn't mention one of our, probably our strongest board member, Madison. We definitely need to mention her because she does put pretty much everything together for us that we haven't been able to do. And she brought a new piece to us in helping get actual people in the community to support us.
Okay.
And the comment I would like to make kind of goes to the community and people who just want to find other community things to get into, because a lot of times people, they want to do something good, but they don't know how or when or where. And Project Rally really offers an opportunity for people to come together, one thing, see a community grow, because right now we don't have anything going, so we can only do, all we can do is grow and be better. So I just want to offer our hands and extend our hands to people who really want to be about something or who want to be a part of something. Please reach out to us on our Project Rally Facebook page. We also have fundraisers going on, too, that you can make aware about following us on Project Rally on our Facebook page. So please tune in. Follow us first if you're not really sure. See what we're doing. Make sure that we legit, because we come off. That's why we put everything out there first. But please, if you want to be a part of something, give us a shout and follow us, and we appreciate you.
Okay, gang. Again, I can't say... You heard Terrell's father talk about how proud he is, but I'm not going to give him all that father stuff because I'm going to take some of it myself. I always stick my chest out whenever I'm around these young men. I mean, they're not the easiest in the world. I yell at them, too. You can believe that. But they have come a long ways, and who knows how far we're going to be able to go past here. We haven't said a whole lot about it, but we've been getting a lot of support. You know, we're not out there trying to get grants and all that kind of stuff. If they come, they come. They're doing a lot of what they're doing out of their own hip pockets. I mean, and that I got to love. We have them involved, and the NAACP has been sponsoring them and backing them on getting this garden started. And if you get a chance or we get a chance, I think we might put it on the website here at KKFI so you can get a chance to see that show they had on Channel 5. Thank you all for listening in, and we'll be with you next week. Thank you.
And now some events. Again, as mentioned at the top of the show, there is a... there is a rare opportunity to share your voice about the future development in the Lime Creek Forest. Park Hill is hosting a one-time-only public feedback meeting where you can have an open dialogue and talk with board members, administration, and architects. The topic will be the upcoming construction plans for the LEED school, which begins in 2019 and also includes an environmentally damaging road that will bisect the forest and lay the groundwork for the future parkway. And again, that is courtesy of Save the Last KC Forest. And the event is at 5 o'clock tomorrow at Plaza Middle School in the Northland, 6501 Northwest 72nd Street. On July 23rd, which I guess is 2 weeks from today, if I'm doing that right, Cultivate KC is hosting Protecting Your Farms, Issues and Tools for Long-Term Protection. And that takes place at Cultivate KC, right up the block here at 300 East 39th Street. And that's Monday, July 23rd, from 6 to 8 p.m. During this very program. And then on August 7th, the Thomas Hart Benton Group of the Sierra Club is hosting an event on strategic defense impacts of climate change and silent auction. There will be military personnel. They are discussing concerns about climate change and national security. That's August 7th at 7 p.m. at All Souls UU Church. And we're going to go out like we do with This Week in Water. And do stay tuned for Fiesta Musical.
Are there possible upsides with the new EPA chief? That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
After Scott Pruitt, the Ethics Challenge Administrator of the EPA, resigned last week, questions were being asked about his interim replacement, Andrew Wheeler.
Wheeler is not new to Washington, D.C. or to the EPA. He began working there after law school, and he later worked for Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe, a brazen denier of climate science. Wheeler, the former coal lobbyist, said on Friday that he would stick with Trump's priorities.
In order to get some ideas about what Wheeler might pretend for the EPA, H2O Radio spoke with Sarah Krakoff, a law professor at the University of Colorado who specializes in natural resources and American Indian law. She predicts that Wheeler will have the same anti-environmental protection agenda of Pruitt.
But, you know, without the personal peccadilloes and the, you know, strange desire to use the office for his own good, you know, he'll be a more professional, cleaner, more efficient version of the same overall substantive agenda is one very distinct possibility.
But it's possible a few things will be good for federal environmental law. For example, Krakoff very cautiously speculated about some things Wheeler might not pursue as Pruitt did, like the attack on California's vehicle emission standards, mainly because it was likely to involve protracted, costly litigation.
The upsides for America are that it's good not to have our public servants, very prominent public servants, engaging in behaviors that just seem to be utterly beyond the pale. The potential downside for the environmental protection and people who care about enforcing our environmental laws is that a more low-profile, more knowledgeable, much, much savvier public servant could quietly do just as much or more damage because people perhaps won't be as much up in arms and paying attention.
And she speculates Wheeler may respect EPA staffers more, which is good for the long term, as there will be less morale damage and fewer departures from the agency.
In two very different parts of the world, many, including indigenous peoples, are celebrating the designation of World Heritage Sites.
UNESCO designated Cherribiquet National Park in Colombia. It has one of the highest rates of plant diversity in the northern Amazon and is now the largest protected rainforest in the world, according to The Independent, with nearly 3,000 animal and plant species.
The area had been off limits, but after a peace agreement was signed by the government and rebels, it is now opening up to scientific research.
The other site listed last week is about 4,000 miles away in Canada's boreal forest, and it's called Pimachowanaki, the land that gives life. It straddles Manitoba and Ontario.
The Natural Resources Defense Council says that First Nations have been fighting for 17 years to have the 7-million-acre region named a World Heritage Site to protect it from encroaching development like logging. Being added to the World Heritage List gives these areas new legal protections.
It's been hot all over the planet. Records have been broken in many places. For example, a city in Algeria set an all-time high temperature for the African continent of 123 degrees.
In northern Siberia, on the coast of the Arctic Ocean, the temperature reached 90 degrees on July 5th, a stunning 40 degrees above normal.
At UCLA in Southern California last Friday, the temperature reached 111 degrees, the hottest ever recorded there, breaking the old record by two notches.
Quebec has had record high temperatures during a heat wave that's being blamed for at least 54 deaths. Many of the victims were over 65 and had prior physical or mental health ailments. Montreal reached a record of almost 98 degrees.
Sydney, Australia, where it is winter, saw 2 days last week of 77 degrees, the warmest 2 days in July in nearly 160 years of records.
As Al Jazeera notes, the hot temperatures all over the planet don't necessarily prove climate change theories. However, 2018 is likely to be one of the five warmest years on the planet since instrumental records began in 1880.
Heat has also been a problem in Iran, where in some areas the temperature rose to about 122.
The country has been in drought for 14 years, and climate refugees have moved to urban areas because they couldn't farm anymore. A shortage of drinking water prompted people in southwest Iran to take to the streets in protest.
The Financial Tribune, based in Tehran, reports that last fall was the driest in nearly 70 years, with rainfall down to about half of average.
And finally this week, it's official. Spending time in nature has significant health benefits, like lowering your risk of type 2 diabetes, reducing cardiovascular disease, and helping with high blood pressure.
According to new research from the University of East Anglia, people who spend time in green spaces are more likely to report overall good health. Green spaces were defined as open, undeveloped land with natural vegetation and included urban parks.
In a press release from the university, the authors compared the health of people with little access to green spaces with people who had high exposure. While people living near green spaces likely have more opportunities for physical exercise and socializing, the report suggests that the physical environment itself may offer benefits by exposing people to a variety of bacteria present in natural areas. Those bacteria may boost the immune system and reduce inflammation.
One really interesting result they found is that exposure to green space significantly reduces people's levels of salivary cortisol, a physiological marker of stress.
The research team studied data from 20 countries, including Japan, where something called shinrin-yoku, or forest bathing, is already a popular practice.
Forest bathing was developed there in the 1980s and has become a cornerstone of Japanese preventive health care. There have been numerous studies that document the benefits of dousing oneself in the natural world, including research that suggests that phytoncides, organic compounds with antibacterial properties released by trees, could explain the health-boosting properties of forests. And you don't have to hike or mountaineer, you just need to be in nature.
The researchers hope that their findings will prompt healthcare professionals to recommend that patients spend more time outside. So perhaps next time you go to the doctor with a complaint, they might prescribe, take two trees and call me in the morning. This Week in Water is supported by the American Water Works Association, highlighting the latest cost-effective strategies to manage aging infrastructure at the Water Infrastructure Conference and Expo, October 28th to 31st in Atlanta. Learn more at awwa.org/H2O Infocon.
Thanks for listening to Eco Radio KC on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.